So we all know that we obviously have to keep in touch with our existing clients. But there's a little bit of a challenge because sometimes it can get awkward in that people just, they don't know what to say to their clients. So they're calling to check in, which is just like, unless like you're a parole officer, right? It's just kind of used and abused. But other times, I think we can come across in a way that isn't overly sincere, in that it sounds like we're only calling them because it's end of month and we're trying to just get like one last sale in, or perhaps we're trying to just call them and we only care about them when we're trying to sell them something. So today, I thought it might be valuable if we talk about a few ways to keep in touch with your clients without being a complete pain in the ass and without any of that calling to check in stuff. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 20,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. Okay, so today we're really going to be going into territory that we don't cover anywhere near as much as we should on the Sales Playbook Podcast. We talk a lot about getting in front of new opportunities, and we also talk a lot about getting those opportunities across the finish line and closing those deals. But we really don't talk enough about, okay, now they're a client. How can we competitor-proof that business and keep in touch and grow that business? So today we're going to talk a little bit about that. But before we begin, I have a free resource for you that I want you to take full advantage of. I have sales tips that I send out to everyone. And I'm not just talking about on my blog. I have a email blast that I send out, usually send it out a few times each week. And I send out content that is not available on the blog. And also, I'll let you in on a little bit of a secret. It's not going to be a huge secret because, like, I don't know, like I'm telling the world about it right now. But I also send out like special deals and discounts on the programs through my email blast. So if you'd like to get the inside track on some of those deals, and certainly you'd like to get lots of these sales tips, all you have to do is go to yoursalesplaybook.com/sales tips, as if it were all one word, just no spaces or anything else. yoursalesplaybook.com/sales tips. And just remember, tips is plural. So having said that, let's get down to business. And you know, I was thinking this is kind of a timely podcast and a timely topic, if you will, for us to kick around today, because in a few days, we're going to have Valentine's Day. Here in the U.S., we love to celebrate Valentine's Day. And you know what? I have to confess something to you guys. There was a time where Mrs. Uncle Paul and I kind of blew off Valentine's Day. Now, just I have to give you a little background, and you have to bear with me. You might be thinking, yeah, I mean, like, what the hell does this have to do with keeping up your appearances with your clients and staying in touch? I want you to stay with me for a second. My wife and I, we actually met in high school in a faraway time called 1983. We met, actually, in my music class. And, I mean, like reason number 1,000 why I'm glad I'm a musician. And we met there in 1983. I asked her out in 1983. We married 5 years later. In fact, later this year in October, we'll be celebrating our 30th wedding anniversary. And one of the things that happens, and for those of you who are listening who have been in relationships a long time, what can happen in many relationships is that people just stop trying as hard as they used to. That can happen in any relationship. And when we were first married, we celebrated Valentine's Day. We even like kept up on our dating, believe it or not. I mean, you might be saying, wow, that's kind of silly. You're married and you're continuing to date. Well, it'd be silly if we were dating other people, right? That'd be kind of bizarre. I mean, like, we kept dating each other. Like, we just kept that mindset and kept making sure that we had date nights and stuff. And then we had a period of time where we had every excuse in the world. We were busy and stuff with the kids and all this stuff going on in the family and financial things, and we just stopped with it. And I will tell you, I've had an incredible relationship with my wife the whole time, but it was during those times when we stopped with the dating and stopped working at it that we experienced more friction in the relationship. And now, again, what does that have to do with anything? Well, we've got Valentine's Day coming up. And like I said, for a while, we did really well with it. We would continue to celebrate Valentine's Day. Well, a few years ago, we decided, I mean, because we had gotten away from it. And we were both sitting there thinking, yeah, that was Valentine's Day. It's just like a holiday that, like, the greeting cards, like Hallmark kind of, like, backed so that they could just sell more cards. I don't need a card to tell Mrs. Uncle Paul I love her. And it was just a big, fat excuse. So a few years ago, we decided we really have to get back at working at the relationship. And, you know, not to put all my personal business into the podcast, we weren't experiencing any problems, but I think we were adult enough to realize that that's when you can experience problems in a relationship, when you stop working at it and when you feel like, when you get too comfortable with it. And I think it's the same way with our customers. So this Valentine's Day coming up here in the States, we decided, well, you know, we're going to do something. And again, the excuses came in. My wife, she now works in a hospital, by the way, so she has crazy hours. And it's like, well, on Valentine's Day, she's going to be working like the overnight shift, so we can't celebrate Valentine's Day. So we decided, wait a minute, that's an excuse. So what we're going to do instead is we realized that, okay, Mrs. Uncle Paul is off on Monday, the 12th. I own my own business, and like the guy I work for, like me, he is like the coolest dude you will ever meet. And he's really cool with me taking off like whenever the hell I want. So I'm going to take some time off and I'm going to hang out with Mrs. Uncle Paul. And we're going to do some stuff together. We both like to cook. We're going to cook a nice dinner together. I don't know, man. Maybe we're going to have some wine. I don't know. I really don't know. But we're going to put some time into it. But bringing that back to your clients, I think it's the same way. I think sometimes it's kind of like the hunt. We spend so much time and it's like trying to get the business. And in your defense, you may work for someone who's really pressuring you to bring in that new business, or, you know, like with your quota and the way you're compensated, that you get compensated best on the new business that you bring in. And somehow we just kind of forget to work at the existing relationship. So today, what I really want to talk about is not like my plans with Mrs. Uncle Paul for Valentine's Day. I mean, there you are probably in your car listening, saying, man, this sucks. This guy is boring as shit. I don't want to listen to that. But instead, I thought we'd talk about how, like, we can keep in touch with people without it coming across insincere. Many times, I think many of us have been guilty of this. All of a sudden, it's like month end, we've got to pull out the numbers, and then it comes across that way. Or we only care about people when they're handing us an order. So we want to stay top of mind with people, but we also don't want to sound like everybody else. And I think everyone else loves to call up and they love to call to check in. So I want to give you a bunch of ideas to think about and a method of keeping in touch. So let's talk first about all these different ideas that I have. Yeah, I don't have a ton, but just enough to move you beyond calling to check in, and also to keep you from sounding like you're pressuring them and trying to, like, the only time that Castain guy calls me up or emails me is when he's trying to sell me something. We don't want that vibe. So let me just throw some random things at you. So one of the things that you can do is use some greeting cards in there. And, you know, right about now, where, like, I propose, okay, one of the things you can do is greeting cards. You will always have some smartass in the group that's got to say, well, the best way to call is to call them, or the best way is face-to-face. And, you know, I don't want to argue what the best way is, because every single person is different. But you can't look at keeping in touch as one method versus the other. I like to look at it as a sales mix, if you will, a mix of outreach. Some things are going to be snail mail. I might do some things with the FedEx. I might do some things face-to-face or a phone call or an email or over on LinkedIn. I might do some things with content. I might do some things with creativity. So I don't look at it as one way versus the other. And one thing you absolutely don't want to do is look at it in terms of what you prefer. That would be getting back to like the dating analogy. That would be like taking your significant other to a hamburger joint because you like hamburgers. Nobody gives a shit if you like hamburgers. I mean, what they care about is like what they care about. So never make your decision in sales based on what you want to do. In fact, you know, I read something really interesting in a book that I really enjoy called The Content Code. And what the author was talking about is how you should look at the platforms that you really enjoy and then use that as the basis of where you want to show up. You see, I think that's good in terms of your enthusiasm and putting things into it. I don't really know that that's going to serve you properly. And again, the guy who wrote that book made a few million dollars more than I did last year, so I'm not here to say his way sucks, my way is better. Of all the things he shared in that book, which it was an awesome book, by the way, that's probably the only thing I can point to where I disagree with things. So we want to move away from, I prefer to do it this way, so I'm going to do it. And we want a mix. So this greeting card idea, I want you to realize that there are a lot of holidays throughout the year that you can have some fun with. So one of the things that you can do is you can look at non-religious holidays, because nobody's going to get offended if you do that. And you don't have to worry about being politically correct or whatever. So, I mean, starting at like the beginning of the year, and it's already in the past, but you can make a note to self for next year. I always tell people that everybody and their mother sends out a holiday card. But how many people send out a New Year's card? So that might be something to put in your mix. Right now, we're coming up on Valentine's Day. Now, again, here we are. It's like, you know, a few days away, so it might be a little late to send it. But a note to self for next year. But certainly, if you don't do a greeting card, you can have some fun with the theme of Valentine's Day. Now, I'm not going to quit my day job to write creative little ditties, if you will. I love that word. I'm sorry. Creative little ditties. But, I mean, you know, how about like something like a Valentine's Day theme? Like, you know, we love having you as a client. Something like that. But think about the other times of the year where you can have some fun, right? Because business is really wound way too effing tight. We got to have some fun and bring some fresh air to the relationship, man. A little spark to that shit, right? So we've got to do that. But, you know, and we don't want to sound like everybody else. So think about the holidays that you could maybe have some fun with. Play with the theme. You could send a greeting card. You could even go a step further. And I'll make sure that if you go to yoursalesplaybook.com and you look under the blog post for February 12th, 2018, I'm going to put a link to a calendar that, like, they have all these, like, crazy holidays, like National Chocolate Lover's Day, National, you know, I don't know, National Campers Day or some shit, whatever. But, I mean, some of these things is, like, three different things from one day, but, like, for example, I love to play the guitar. I love to smoke cigars. There's a lot of things that I'm pretty open about. I'm sure you know these things about your client, the things that they love. So, like, if I were your client and, like, it's, like, National Guitar Players Day, I would love to get, like, a little note or something wishing me Happy Guitar Players Day. I mean, it's little things like that that can help separate you from everyone else. Because I can honestly tell you, if you sent me a card for, like, National Guitar Players Day, counting your card would be the only card, like, I ever received. And just to be clear, I'm not saying this is how you win the business. Like, you send things on ridiculous holidays. I'm saying this is one of many things you do to stay top of mind and to continue to bump into people. So before we go any further and I tell you some other ideas for you, I want to talk about this idea of bumping into people. My favorite word in the whole wide world, I came across it about 5 years ago, and your Uncle Paul here is really hardly the wordsmith, which should come as no shock to you since I write it about like the kindergarten level, like using a crayon and the backwards letters and shit. But like seriously, I had to look up the word. But there's this word and it's called propinquity. It kind of rolls off the tongue, man. I feel sophisticated. Like Uncle Paul's got some class and shit. But anyway, no, it's the word is propinquity. And it means nearness and closeness and kinship. And like that's part of like the Merriam-Webster definition. But my crazy definition, in addition to that stuff, is it's really bumping into somebody over and over again in a good way. I can bump into a creep and it's like, or that person like, oh my God, don't look now. You know, Jane and Bob Jones are over there. Let's not make eye contact. Holy shit. They always want to do, like Larry David says, a stop and chat. I don't want to stop and chat with them. Like that kind of thing. But I mean, like quality. Like every time like you bump into this person, you feel better for it. And like you have a nice little chit chat or whatever it is. And like you kind of feel like you know them a little bit better each and every time you run into them. That's what we want to establish in all of our relationships, because in sales, everybody loves these sayings. And what happens with all these sayings is that we say them so often. When a smart ass like me comes along and says, what does that mean? Everybody looks at you like where you want to go over to their head, knock on it, listen to the echo, and say, McFly, like anybody home? I mean, seriously, it's like people just are used to saying it. They don't know what the hell it means. Like people say, you gotta add value. Right? Like, what does that mean? How do I do that? Because, like, everybody says it, and I have no clue. What do I do to add value? Well, there's this one saying. People do business with people they know, like, and trust. And to me, the idea of creating propinquity, it just, you know, puts that all in a nice little, puts a bow around that. So you want to try your best to establish propinquity, where people just feel a kinship with you and feel that you have their best interests in mind and that they know you well enough. And part of the thing that you have to do is stay in touch with them, because the crazy example that I always give is the following. How would you be able to create a relationship with someone if they're here today and they're gone for 6 months? And you barely know them to begin with. So they're here today, they're gone for 6 months. Then they're here hot and heavy for 3 weeks, and then they're gone for 12 weeks. And then they're back for a few days, they're gone for a few weeks. And it's just they're here, they're gone. And that's what happens a lot in sales. We don't set out to do that. But what happens is that we're getting pulled in a lot of different directions. Every single day is a new adventure for us in sales. So what happens is that really the people yelling the loudest, we're serving them. The fires that have to get put out, we're taking care of those fires and putting them out. And then your boss needs the TPS reports and there's some kind of fire drill bullshit meeting on a Thursday at like, I don't know, 5 p.m. or some shit. They are, you're doing that instead. But you're all over the place. And what happens, unfortunately, is that these relationships never have a chance to flourish. So let's move on now. Beyond the cards, how about like sending them a no strings attached idea? One of like the biggest eye openers that I've had as a sales trainer was when I was training a group of new sales reps and we were talking about questions to ask potential clients in the printing industry. Now, don't let that scare you away if you're not in printing, because when I tell you what the question was that somebody proposed, you're going to realize it has nothing to do with printing, man. It has everything to do with what you do and what the other people are doing. So we can all use this question. So I was thinking about questions that we could ask that would really make people think about the relationships that they have right now. So in a way, like not bad-mouthing our competitors, But getting people who have relationships with our competitors to really step back and take notice of things that might not be working. So a brand spanking new rep raised his hand and he said, you know, maybe this is crazy, but I'm thinking, why don't we ask them, when was the last time your sales rep came to you with an idea? And the whole room, it was like one of those things in the movies where you hear like the record scratch, and in a good way, like, and everybody just like looked at this person and they were like, and then pen started going, and we realized that's really a brilliant question to ask. But aside from asking the question, we're probably guilty of that. Think about it. When was the last time you suggested a no strings attached idea? I don't mean like on the 30th where like you need to pull that sale out of thin air, or it's like end of year, or like you just want to make money. And there's nothing, oh, and just, you know, in case you didn't realize this about sales, there's nothing wrong with making money. There's nothing wrong with suggesting something to someone that you can benefit from that. I don't want you ever to be ashamed of that. It just can't make up the bulk, like 99% of the relationship. You should be proposing some no strings attached ideas as well. So I want you to think about ideas, sending along resources. That could be a good thing. My policy with all of my prospects and my clients is every 4 to 6 weeks, I send along some kind of resource. It could be an app that I came across. It could be a report that I came across. It could be a really cool website or some kind of thing that I found, especially free things I love to pass along. But also, quite selfishly, there are some things that I put out that are free. Like, for example, I put out a guide on how to hire a sales coach. In fact, anybody wants it, just shoot me an email. paul@yoursalesplaybook.com. Be happy to send it to you. I put out things like that. I put out all kinds of things on, which we're going to talk about in a minute, communication mapping. I'll send that along. I have an app with over 300 free audio sales lessons. In fact, if you want to download it, feel free to go to yoursalesplaybook.com/app. But I send things like that along to just... Like, again, we go back to that adding value thing. We love to say it, but then if I would ask you, okay, how do you do it? That's when, like, the eye contact gets broken and people just start staring at their phone and, like, at some imaginary screen shit that they got going on, right? Because they don't want to deal with that. So if you really want to add value, one of the things you should be doing is sending along resources. But also, one of my favorite things is, like, providing surprises. Of the good variety, because there's bad surprises. Like, hey, surprise, it's a day after that, like, project was due for you, and we're going to be another week. That's a shitty surprise, and I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a pleasant surprise. So I'll give you two very quick examples of pleasant surprises. One came from MailChimp, and they are, obviously, they're an email... platform that a lot of people use to send out their email newsletters and email blasts and everything. And several years ago, I had started to use them. And when I sent out my first campaign, I get this email from them saying, hey, congrats, you sent out your first campaign and you did it without a hitch or whatever it is. We've got a free MailChimp t-shirt for you. And they didn't have anything to gain from that. It was just like, and I was like, I'm like a little kid with this shit. I'm like I kind of thought like I hit the lotto. I'm like, holy shit, I got a MailChimp t-shirt. I mean, but the funniest thing about it is, this is not something that they had to go and mortgage off like half the company to be able to afford to buy these MailChimp shirts. It was inexpensive, but yet it was a pleasant surprise. And it injected fun into the relationship. Remember I said that before. Business is wound way too tight. A little bit of fun here and there can really work. Appropriate fun. There was nothing about what they gave me there that was offensive or like, yeah, it's fun, but really kind of teetering on politically incorrect or anything like that. I'll give you another surprise. And this is one of my favorite stories to tell. I'll never forget going to an Embassy Suites, and I get to the desk, and the lady says, Congratulations, Mr. Castaigne. You are the client of the day. And I remember thinking, well, like, good God, I'm the client of the day. Like, I was waiting for, like, you know, people playing harps and shit and, like, you know, a band coming in. Like, it was awesome. Like, what does this mean? What does this mean? It's like, am I going to be on the Forbes wealthiest man of the year now or whatever? Like, I was excited as hell after, like, you know, being in airports and stuff all day. And it was nothing fancy, but it was really cool. She gives me, like, a little certificate. And when I get to the room, there is this little gift bag that's waiting for me with a little note. And in the gift bag, there's like some chips and stuff. There's Twix bars and peanut butter cups in there. Two bottles of water. I mean, it like really cool. And I was like, wow, this is awesome. I felt so happy. Like, I kind of felt like, seriously, you remember in Wayne's World when they had the backstage passes and they just like kept showing it there? But I kept like feeling like if I walked around the place, client of the day, client of the day coming through. Like, I felt like hot shit. I really felt good. But more importantly, I mean, like, I can't tell you how many people I've told this story to and how much free advertising they have gotten as a result of doing this. And P.S., what do you think that bag of goodies with a few bags of chips, a few candy bars, two bottles of water, which you know that they're getting in bulk because they're always putting them out and stuff. I mean, seriously, like, I mean, is it safe to say this was under $10? I mean, they got more than $10 worth of publicity, but even if they didn't, the fact that they solidified a customer relationship. So surprises are really cool because I think it goes back, it brings out a childlike quality in all of us. So I want you to keep that in mind. Also, I'm really big with matchmaking, where you're introducing them to someone that they need to know that can help them or whatever, or maybe if you know, there maybe this person you're introducing to them might be in a position to buy from them. No client of yours is ever going to get mad at you for sending business and good resources their way. How about calling up with a question? One of my favorite things to do, and I'm not going to go into all the details here because this is actually one of the many things we're going to be talking about in a webinar we have coming up on February 22nd, is client checkups. I mean, when was the last time that you went in to see a client and the whole purpose of the meeting wasn't to talk about a project that you're currently working on, where you're going there really to look at the relationship, look at the results from some recent projects or whatever, find out what's working in the relationship, what isn't working, what you need to start doing, what you need to stop doing, what you need to continue doing, things like that. Those are really important in there. And then obviously, like, inviting them to an event or a client lunch or anything like that. But now, let me run these by you again. And in fact, let me tell you what we're going to do with it, and then I'll run them by you again. What you really want to do is embrace something that I teach all my clients, a concept called communication mapping. Communication mapping. And what communication mapping is, it's basically premeditating your communication. And you can have communication maps for potential clients. You can have them, in this context, it's going to be for existing clients. You can have them for those whale accounts that you're going after. You can have them specifically for leads that call in. And you're thinking out, let's kind of talk about this in the context of existing accounts. So what you're going to do is you're going to have a starting point. And you could either start very specifically with the ABC account, or you can have a generic one. You could certainly do both. And you could say, okay, whenever I get a new account, maybe the or when you get an order, for example, let's start from there. You get an order. What's that communication plan going to look like? Okay, well, I get an order. Maybe there's going to be some kind of acknowledgement or whatever. Now, you might be thinking, well, my company automatically does that. Well, that's your company. That's not you. And you need to keep, like in this relationship. It's pretty important. Otherwise, like, what the hell do they need you for? So maybe there's something from you when they place an order. Maybe there's some kind of an update then at a certain point of the project. So let's just say normally it takes 2 weeks to get like your widget to them. Maybe one weekend you give them an update or whatever. Maybe once you know that it arrives, you're calling up. And I know you're saying duh to all these things, but just hear me out because there's a lot more. Maybe once you know that it arrives, you're calling them. I almost said calling to check in. We don't want to do that. You're calling them. I want to make sure everything got to you safe and sound. And, you know, everything was to your satisfaction. Just being very proactive like that. Maybe after that, if they're a local company, you're going to go to them and maybe you're going to meet with them and you're going to show them some technical things that they need to know or help them somehow. I don't know, call me crazy, but like a handwritten thank you, not a bad way of keeping in touch with people. Maybe you're going to call them with a question about the product and the usage. You know, did you guys know that you could also do this? In fact, somebody had called me one time and it was just, it wasn't a company or anything. It was, someone that I had bought, this is like a music story, that I had bought a really expensive synthesizer from years ago. And I bought the synthesizer and they were really cool at the time. Like they showed me some things about it and it was a lot of little technical things or whatever. And I don't know, about a week or two after I bought it, most people, especially, you know, an off the books deal like this wasn't through a store or anything. You know, they would just go on their way. I would go on my way. But what they did, which was really cool, they called me up and they said, hey, Paul, you know, I was just thinking about you and you were telling me this, you know, like the kind of music you were into and everything. Do you have that? You buy your keyboard or whatever? I go, yeah, I can get by the keyboard. They go, well, I want to just tell you this really cool feature that's on the keyboard. So they did that. And I was like, wow, that was really cool. And it was so unexpected. They had already received their money from me. It wasn't like I was on a payment plan and they had to continue to kiss my ass or anything. But it really, I thought it was just a really, it was just a real professional thing to do. But things like that. So what I want you to do is I want you to think about all these different things that I talked about today. So we talked about greeting cards. We even talked about themed types of things like Valentine's Day, right? And I had said to you, you could say something like, we love having you as a client. We talked about sending along no strings attached ideas, sending along resources, surprises. We talked about calling with a question, these client checkups, maybe inviting them to an event, inviting them to lunch, maybe doing some matchmaking, and there's certainly a lot more. But you see, if you map it out, and then you put this in your CRM, and you put little alerts. So for example, let's just say you did one of these touches that you're going to premeditate, and you did it today, and you know that 3 weeks now from today, you're going to want to send them a resource. You'll have a little alert that goes off. And if you do this with all of your clients, you're never going to miss a beat. So that's what I have for you today. I really want to invite you to stay in touch without doing what everybody else is doing. Don't ever underestimate the power of being a breath of fresh air to your clients. And that means some appropriate humor and putting fun into the relationship. Don't ever forget what I told you at the beginning. Don't fall into that whole thing that a lot of people are guilty of, well, you know, I worked hard in the courtship and now I'm going to coast in the marriage. That's not a good thing in your personal life, and it's definitely not a good thing to do in business. You want to work at it as if it was that first date, and you want to keep it fun and exciting and change things up. Even, I mean, this sounds silly, but I've even told some of my coaching clients when we're talking about their existing relationships, if there's that like one place you guys always go to lunch or whatever it is, I mean, you're allowed to change it up. I mean, seriously, I mean, simple things like that. But then I want you to get it into a map. Remember, get it into your CRM, set alerts. And the final thing that I want to say to you is something that I mentioned in a podcast probably about a month ago. And I came across this idea, and I just love this idea to the point that I wish I was the guy who thought of it. Seriously, like I'm seriously jealous about this. And it just has so many applications. And what this, I came across this guy. And he does a lot of like social media work and stuff. And like one of his success tips that he shared at the beginning of the year was he said, you know, we have all these relationships online. And he said, I have like, he talked about certain days of the week that he designates like to keep in touch with people. Well, for most of us in sales who are selling full time, you know, we don't have time every single day maybe to be keeping in touch with people on LinkedIn and somebody we bumped into at a networking event and everything else. So I came up with this crazy idea. And I said, what if you picked one day a week? And I thought like something that would be easy to remember because it's corny as hell. Something like a Keep in Touch Tuesdays. And on Keep in Touch Tuesdays, you dedicated as much of the day as you possibly can to keeping in touch with your most valuable contacts. So you can kind of call it like, you know, like how like with the Super Bowl, we had like the MVP or whatever, you know, like you have like your MVP, your most valuable player or whatever. Well, here it's going to be your MVC list, right? Your most valuable contacts. And you can have this separated by like people that are in your network and all that if you want. But however you do it, a part of that really has to be for your clients. And you can now on Tuesdays or Thursdays, whatever day you want to do it, but with this whole Keep in Touch Tuesday thing, on those days, you could just have your entire account list of people that you really want to keep in touch with and just stay top of mind. And you can almost do it the way we used to do it with territories years ago, where you kind of quadrant it out. Okay, this week I'm going to work on this part of my territory, and next week I'm going to work on that part of the territory. So this way you're getting coverage. You could do it that way. You can kind of divide it up 25% each week. Or maybe there's people that you just have to be in touch with every single week. But however you decide to do it, what I want you to do, maybe on those Tuesdays or Thursdays or whatever day you designate as your keep in touch day, look at these different things we talked about. So this way you're changing it up and you're not just calling to check in. Sometimes you're going to call with a question. Sometimes you're going to pass along an idea. Maybe another time you're going to do something creative. Maybe another day you're going to surprise the hell out of them and thank them just because. Another time, maybe there's somebody they need to know. Maybe there's a really cool greeting card. You have a holiday coming up that you can leverage the hell out of, have some fun, and not worry about any kind of religious offense that's going to be taken because maybe they don't celebrate Christmas or whatever it is. And that's a real thing. So that's what I want you to do. Think about a way to keep in touch, to change it up, but to premeditate the communication. I will leave you with this note. The beauty of communication mapping, this process I taught you today, is that it keeps you from doing seat of your pants type of communication. The quality of your communication is always going to be so much better when it's premeditated. I don't care how like witty you are. When that alert goes off in your CRM and you're deciding what you're going to say to someone, especially a client, as you reach for the phone, or your fingers are going to the keyboard, I don't care how witty and how quick you are, it's not going to be as good as if you had premeditated that communication beforehand. The quality is going to go up tenfold. Now, listen, if this is something that appeals to you and you like this and you want to talk more about it, we've only scratched the surface today. There's so much more I'm going to be sharing. When it comes to this, we have a webinar that's going to be coming up on Thursday, February 22nd at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time. It's called How to Grow Existing Accounts. And there are two sections that like really two like thoughts that we're going to be covering here with lots of little sub thoughts. And one part of it is we're going to talk about, well, how do we competitor proof the business we have? That's pretty important. And then how do we grow the hell out of these accounts? And we're going to talk about things like client visits that create better outcomes for both you and your client. We're going to talk about something that I'm just like incredibly passionate about. And it's this idea that we can become pigeonholed with our clients. So let me give you an example of what I mean by that. Is let's just say that you are a client of mine. And you hire me every year to come in and speak before your sales team. And the only way that you see me is as your speaker. And that's great. I'm appreciative of that. But for those of you who know me, I have coaching services. I have sales training. I have online webinars that I do. I have consulting that I do. I have executive retreats that I do. I have all these other things. But how do I keep from getting pigeonholed without being this walking, talking infomercial? We're going to talk about how to cross-sell, how to upsell, and how to generate more referrals and testimonials. And also, we're going to be talking a lot about how to get into other divisions, other locations, and how to get access to other stakeholders. That's always a really sensitive thing. How do we do it in a way that, number one, we don't offend our contact, but number two, how do we now create that internal champion who wants to work with us and who wants to genuinely help us? So if you'd like to learn more, I want you to visit yoursalesplaybook.com/rockyourclients. yoursalesplaybook.com/rockyourclients. And with that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Visit us at www.yoursalesplaybook.com.